Woe unto them. Now, who are the them? These are the apostates that Jude has identified previously in this chapter. He's told us about their means of living, and now he's going to show us some things about them that ought to be evident, especially in our age. Someone said that some of these things could already be happening. All these things have already been happening. These things are not yet to come. These things are now upon us. We're well engrossed within them. Here we are. Woe. And this woe is profoundly against those of whom he has given us the picture already. For they have gone in the way of Cain. I want you to remember what he says. They've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Here are three more examples that Jude is giving us of the apostate. Now let's identify that apostate once again. The apostate is one who believes in his head and has never been converted in his heart. Right. Now that simply means that he had a knowledge of truth, but truth has never gripped him. He has given mouth service to it. He has come to it to say, oh, I can be a part of this. It is religion. Are you listening? It is religion, not salvation. The world is eat up with religion. But salvation is by no means on the same par with religion. I've titled this as the world's three false religions. And every false religion under the sun is mentioned in what I just read to you. How could that possibly be? I'll show you in just a few moments. First of all, he mentions Cain. Now, we remember who Cain was, do we not? Back in Genesis chapter number 4 and so on, Cain and Abel bring an offering to the Lord. God receives Abel's offering because his offering is a blood offering. His offering is that contains, or had at least contained, blood. It was a living, breathing substance that he offered. Cain offers his vegetables from the ground. God receives the offering of Abel and rejects the offering of Cain. Cain becomes angry. Now there's a word here we need to use. It is the word envy. Let me identify that word for you if I may. Envy is unhappy admiration. Unhappy admiration. They admire, but they're unhappy that they even admire it. Cain is envious of his brother. He's envious of the fact that his offering had been rejected and his brother's had been received of the Lord. And the scripture said he talked with his brother in the field, argued with him literally, and then he slew him. Cain offers the world a religion without blood. Here is one of the basic false religions in this world today. Now, listen carefully to what I'm saying to you. Nearly every Protestant church today falls in this category. When you take the blood out of your songbooks, what are you doing? When you refuse to have the word blood in your sermons, what are you doing? When you no longer speak of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the sufficiency for the redemption of mankind, then what have we done? We have robbed the truth and made it nothing but a pagan religion. Churches all over this city tonight fall in this category. churches that some of you have attended fall in this category. Blood is no longer necessary. Some of the so-called great men of our day have fallen into the trap of saying that it wasn't the blood that redeemed us, but the giving of His life that redeemed us. Strange that Paul, the writer of the Hebrew letter in chapter number 9, says plainly, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And that He has by Himself purchased our redemption. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only satisfying and bartering agent in heaven. Nothing else will do for the payment of our sins before a holy God. It is the only bartering agent God knows anything of. Blood. And it's the blood of His Son, not the blood of bulls and goats. Same chapter, the Hebrew letter says plainly that the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and so on, but the blood of Jesus Christ, once offered, if you will, churches have decided that it's no longer necessary to have the blood as a part of their songs, of their sermon, of their testimony. I want to say tonight, without apology, I am not ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. And as long as God gives me enough wisdom, enough strength, and I can still speak, by His grace, I will still proclaim that it's the blood of Jesus Christ or hell. Nothing else will save us. Absolutely nothing else will satisfy the wrath of God Almighty. You don't understand this, and I don't understand it, but thank God I got a glimpse of it a number of years ago. Before Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed His blood, God is angry. Under the law, that soul that sinneth it shall die. Jesus went to Calvary, shed His blood, satisfied the demand of the law, and satisfied the wrath of a holy God. And the New Testament saint is dealing with a placated God, a satisfied God, rather than an angry God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that don't make you shout, you don't have His shout in you. God's people have forgotten that we on this side of Calvary are not the same as those back there. Now, I hear it said all the time, and I'll hear it said in the next few weeks. I'll hear it said more than one time, and you will too. Salvation's the same all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I'm telling you that it is not the same. Things that are different are not the same. Never will be. Before the cross, it is law or death. After the cross, it is blood, thank God, and mercy and grace. Yes. Amen. You're dealing with a God tonight that is full of mercy and full of grace, yes, rather than wrath and judgment. Now, that does not mean that God does not despise and still hate sin, but God is satisfied, and the sins of every one of His believers have been paid for. Yes. Glory. Yes. Standing here tonight, this side of the cross, I'm as saved standing here as I'm going to be a million years from tonight. My sins are forgiven. They are under the blood. And that is under the blood will never be remembered again. God declared it plainly, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now that ought to give you enough to shout on for a month or two. Huh? I used to tell our people, every once in a while, we need to sit down with a pen and a piece of paper
and write down every sin that we know we've committed, and then ask God, remind me of anything I've forgotten, and write it every bit down. Write them, every single one, down. Then go back to the Father and say, Father, I plead the blood over number one. I plead the blood over number two. I plead the blood over number three. I plead the blood over number four. Go on down the line and walk away from there rejoicing because they're under the blood. Hallelujah. Glory. I'll tell you one thing. No wonder there's no shout in those religious palaces, because no blood has been preached. And no one has ever realized that they're born again, that they're saved by grace, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed them from their sins. I'll tell you, folks can shout when they realize that God's done something for them eternally. Cain offered the world a religion without blood. Then he speaks of Balaam, the era of Balaam. Balaam had a problem. His problem was that he loved money more than he loved God. Now, I wonder if you know anyone like that. Hello? Multitudes upon multitude. Balaam is a curious character to me. In chapter number 22 through chapter 24 of the book of Numbers, and you need to read this account, Balak the Moabite brings Balaam, the prophet, and offers him great reward to curse the children of Israel. This is while they're in the wilderness journey. And Balaam tries to curse them and he can't. So Balak says, well, let's go take another look at them from another direction, and maybe you can curse them from there. So they go to another place, and Balaam looks out over them and begins to bless the children of Israel. And he says, well, let's go somewhere else. And over, he takes him around the whole camp of Israel and says, now can you curse them? And he said, no, God won't let me. But now listen what he did. If you need proof for this, all you got to do is read a little bit in your Bible. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse 15, the scripture said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. In Revelation chapter 2, number 14, he taught the people to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Here is one of the great sins of Israel. Balaam taught the pagans to entice the men of Israel to commit fornication with them. When you come to chapter 25 of the book of Numbers, read it. Just open your book to that right now. That first verse shows you what Balaam had done. And here, next verses. The children of Israel have committed whoredoms. And one young man brings to his brother a Midianitish woman. And he takes her into his tent in the front of all of the children of Israel, who many of them are there crying because of the plague that's befallen them because Balaam has taught them to sin. And Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, takes a javelin and pierces it through both male and female, and both of them die, and God stops the plague. But thousands died because Balaam taught the children of Israel to commit fornication. Balaam offered the world a religion without the supernatural. Don't worry about God. Leave God out of the picture. When you leave God out of the picture, the next thing is to try to teach mankind to live after his brute emotions and desires. And Israel is overcome then with whoredoms. Balaam is a type of the preacher who stands in the pulpit tonight and preaches for the dollar bill rather than declaring the truth of the Word of God. And rather than worrying about the praise of God, he worries about the praise of people. Until the men of God have a truckload of I don't give a care dumped into their soul and preach the Word of God, the church will never be what it has been in days gone by. Amen. But men and women are no longer desirous of truth. They'd rather hear fairy tales, and they'd rather their lust be fed. I wonder how many times people have gone through the door of the church and shook the preacher's hand and said, "Boy, we had a great time today, didn't we?" And God wasn't within 100 miles of the place. Because it was all out of greed. Balaam's sin was greed. And it doesn't take the individual who knows the Lord Jesus Christ 5 minutes to figure out that the majority of preachers in pulpits today and traveling up and down the roads are there for the dollar that's in it rather than declaring the truth of the Word of God. Balaam died when Joshua led the children of Israel into the land. And he should have. It is a crime against God Almighty, against this book, and against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to declare the truth of the Word of God. But more than one time, I've had preachers say to me, "I couldn't say what you say. It had cost me my church." I don't know that that makes any difference. I'd rather tell the truth and stand before God having told the truth and never preach to people again. I'm too far down the road. Look up here at this old man. Let me tell you something. I'm too far down the road to care. One of my assistant pastors years ago used to say, "Like it, lump it, or jump up and bump it." I don't have the slightest idea what that meant, but that's what he said. And I'm just quoting him tonight. This book's right. We're wrong. Not the book. We're wrong. Balaam is greedy. Keep those cards and letters coming in. Letters more so than cards because you can't put money in a card. God help us. God's promised to care for His men. I'd rather know, listen to me, I'd rather know that I had the promise of God and believed the promise of God. I'd rather know that than to know I had $1 billion in the bank. You say, "Oh, you're just saying that." I am just saying that, but I mean it. Before God, I'd rather have the blessings of God. Sure. I get up every morning, open my Bible, read from God's Word, bow my head, and one of the first things I do is I thank God for my health. Thank you, Lord, that I can still get about, that I can still go. My mind's still keen enough to remember. Thank you, Lord. Y'all never forget those little things that you can't do anything about. Only God can control this. Are you listening to me? Yes. You're healthy tonight because God Almighty is blessing you with health. Yes. Comes from God. And it's God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. That's what the book says. So then everything we have belongs to God. And we get to thinking, "Boy, look what I got." You better know that it's a blessing from God. Thirdly, the third false religious system is invented by the man named Korah. Korah has a couple of buddies, Dathan and Abiram. These men are guilty of a number of things. You'll find their account back in chapter number 16 of the book of Numbers and following. But Korah, Dathan, and Abiram decide with, by the way, 250 princes of Israel. They decide that they're going to go against Moses and Aaron, and they're going to explain to them that they take too much upon them. So they come to Moses and they say, "You take too much upon you. The whole congregation is holy. Who do you think you are to be telling us what to do? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, sin is the sin of rebellion. They don't like what's going on. They don't like the preacher. Korah offers the world a religion without the proper mediator. Boy, how many religions can you name there? We'll name some of them in a minute. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? That doesn't mean the preacher. That doesn't mean the pope. Doesn't mean the priest. Hello. Doesn't mean Mohammed. Doesn't mean Joseph Smith. Doesn't mean Mary Baker Eddy. It means Jesus. One mediator. Jesus said, I am the. Get that in your mind. Definite article. The. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now listen to this. Jesus is either a liar or that's truth. Now you have to make up your mind. Now listen carefully. This world over tonight, preachers and Baptist preachers are on the boat, are saying, well, that's their way to heaven. Our way is Jesus. Excuse me. That is about as sickening a statement as any man could ever make who ever said he believed the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the only way, or he is the biggest liar who ever lived. Now I have news for you. He came forth from the grave to prove that everything he said was right. Amen. And that he is the mediator. And that he is God's only way. There is no other way. Korah and his outfit rebelled against Moses and Aaron. Moses fell before God and began to pray for them. And then he got up and said, I tell you what. He said, in the morning, Aaron and you fellows are going to meet right here. And we're going to determine who is the representative of God. Well, the next morning, Korah's there. Dathan and Abiram, they're still so rebellious, they won't even show up. Moses sent for them. They said, we're not coming. So God, Moses said, that'd be all right. I tell you what, if the normal death befalls these men, then God's not interested in this project. But if God makes a new thing and the earth opens up and they fall into it, then you'll know who's on God's side.
Amen. Right. Amen. Yes,
sir. And he said, all right, all you people, get away from Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. Get away from them. And they got away from them. And God caused the earth to open up. And they and their household, their little green turtles, and their pet parakeet all went into hell alive. And God caused the ground to close up. Well, these 250 proselytes holding their censers are still standing there with the fire burning in their censers. And God caused the fire to come out from himself, out from the altar, and consume them. So it's not just Korah, Dathan, and Abiram that go and their families, but it's that 250 princes of Israel that go with them, all those that were deceived by him. Look up here, let me tell you something. There is something supernatural about salvation. There's something you can't explain. There's something no one can explain. There's something you can feel and you can't tell. Salvation is a supernatural act. It's an act of the Lord God Almighty. It's not an act of man. God in heaven, help us to get that out of our mind. It is an act of a holy God converting a sinner's heart and turning him in another direction. It is a God work, not a man work. And a God work in every case is supernatural. May I just make another little statement? God is supernatural.
Yes.
He always has been. And He always will be. He's a supernatural God. Far beyond the natural. You see, Balaam dealt with the natural. God is a supernatural. Korah tried to replace the mediator. There's only one mediator. Boy, I'll tell you what, that does away with these Muslims, doesn't it? That tells you where they're headed. That tells you where this Buddhist outfit's going. Hello, that tells you where the Mormons are going. Even though often they'll name the name of Christ. By the way, that tells you where the Catholics are headed. I said if you're thin-skinned, you might ought to just take an aspirin or something. Let's get back to truth. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Not Mary. Not Simon Peter,
right.
Not the Pope,
right.
Hello, not the priest,
no.
Jesus.
Amen.
That tells you where the Church of Christ is headed. When water replaces Jesus, something bad wrong, huh?
Right.
Oh, absolutely. That tells you about the charismatics. When gifts replace Jesus, something's wrong.
Bad wrong.
Huh? So, Brother Larry, I wouldn't be that plain. I know you wouldn't. That's why God has me up here doing it. Many a Baptist. Are you still listening? Many a Baptist. Many a Baptist has their faith in a preacher. That tells you where they're going. Your faith better be in Jesus Christ. The only hope you have is Christ, not the preacher. My soul, get your eyes off the preacher and get your eyes on the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He's our only hope. Nothing else, no one else will ever be able to change that truth. Jesus is the only mediator. Cain offered the world a religion without blood. Will not work. Korah offers the world a religion without the proper mediator. Will not work. Balaam offers the world a religion without the supernatural. Deal only in the natural and entertain the flesh. I wanted to spend the hour on that very thought tonight. But that's where we are in our churches in America. Preachers and programs are designed to entertain the flesh and excite the flesh. I'll not say where it was. Well, I will say where it was. I went into a Baptist church in Kingsland, Georgia, just across the Florida line, headed north. Some years ago, the song service began. And when the song service began, from a side door, Angie, if I'm lying, I'm dying, from the side door came dancing women with all of their colored, whatever these things are that they go round and round with. And throughout the song service, those women danced in front of that church. Baptist church. You see, I'm no better than to go in the others. I think that maybe there might be just a touch of something decent in the Baptist church. But I go, and the instant this mess started, I said, this is nothing but a hell hole. It is nothing but sent, put together to entertain the flesh and excite the flesh. Nothing else. I don't care how many times you add Jesus to a dancing girl, it's still entertaining the flesh. So, well, I never seen anything like that. Well, I never had either till then. And I never have since. And I don't want to see it no more. Now, if any of you folks are going that way and you're interested, I'll tell you the church name. You can go by. Because I'm sure they haven't changed. If anything, they probably got more. Let me tell you one more little thing. I started out the door long before the service is over. I started out the door. And as I start out the door, here on the bulletin board is a big sign. Now watch this. It said, dance practice Thursday night. I said, oh, I'll be back Thursday night. Now, there's nothing wrong with dancing before the Lord with your clothes on and having a good time and enjoy God. I do that myself every once in a while. But there's something bad wrong when it's designed to excite the flesh. Balaam offered the world a religion without the supernatural and said, hey, we can build magnanimous churches and get thousands and thousands of people to come if we'll just entertain the flesh. The spirit of Balaam is alive and well in America tonight. The spirit of Cain is alive and well in America tonight. And the spirit of Korah is alive and well in America tonight. So, well, Brother Lay, what are we going to do? We're going to have revival. We're going to pray, we're going to honor God, and we're going to have revival. May have it by ourselves, but we're going to have revival. Praise God. Hey, God sent judgment in Noah's day. Noah had revival.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God sent judgment in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah had revival. Even though he cried about the circumstances, still had revival. God's people can still have revival. By the way, if you think it's going to get any better, forget it. The book said it's going to get worse. Evil men and seducers. And God knows we're living in a world of seducers today. Hey, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get any better. Your only hope is to get closer to Jesus. Are you listening? Just get up real close to Jesus. You see, that ark's a type of Jesus. Noah's in that ark. Noah and his family's in that ark. Hell is popping outside. People are dying by the millions. But Noah's in the ark, safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shed. Sweetly, my soul shall rest.
Amen.
Just get close to Jesus. Just kind of snuggle up real close. It's your only hope. And it's the only way you're going to be happy in these days. If you know Jesus and you know truth, you're not happy at what's going on. Nowhere do you find any peace at what's going on. But maybe in the house of God from time to time. So just snuggle up real close to Jesus. Say, Lord, I just want to be John for a few minutes. Listen to your heartbeat. Feel the essence of your love, your compassion, your care for me. Just snuggle it. Let's stand to our feet.